It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, friend. Welcome to Fresh Oil. I'm your host, Keith Manley. I always enjoy this opportunity to teach from God's Word and to share with you some relevant truth found in the pages of Scripture. Today, we're going to begin the book of 1 John. I love 1 John. John not only wrote his gospel, the Gospel of John, which contains the golden verse of the Bible, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him won't perish but have everlasting life," but he writes three epistles to the church. And today we begin this first book of John. He says in verse 1, "What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, and what we have looked at and touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be complete." So here John gives us the reason for his letter. The reason he writes this was that the church would have joy in understanding the relationship we now have with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Really, the book of 1 John is all about relationships. Our relationships with each other and our relationship with God that we have because of what Jesus did on the cross. Actually, in the book of 1 John, he's going to give us four reasons for writing the letter. The first I just gave you in verse 4, where he said, "These things we write to you that your joy may be full." And then in the next chapter, chapter 2, verse 1, he's going to say, "These things I write to you that you may not sin." And then in chapter 5, he's going to say, "These things I've written to you that you may know that you have eternal life. And these things I've written to you that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." Great reasons, four great reasons to get into the book of 1 John. Now, I love the title that John gives to Jesus in the first verse. He referred to Jesus as the Word of Life. Now, remember, in John's gospel, he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So the Word is not just the Bible. The Word was God speaking to mankind by sending his Son, who became a sacrifice for our sin. John said, "And the life was manifested, and we've seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us." One of my favorite titles for Jesus was the name Emmanuel, which means God with us. You see, friend, John saw Jesus. He spent 3.5 years as one of his closest disciples. John said, "We've seen and we've heard, and now we're proclaiming this to you so that you can understand and that your joy might be full." Friend, this life has so many obstacles and so many trials that come to pull away our joy. But when we get into the Word of God, when we begin to read God's Word that he gave to us, it brings joy and faith in our life. Now, one of the reasons John wrote this letter to the church was to combat a false doctrine that was going around, and it was called Gnosticism. And this was a religious philosophy where it depended on human knowledge. The word Gnostis in Greek referred to knowledge. And so they believed that humans had this divine spark, and the goal of life was to awaken that spark and have all this knowledge. And they didn't believe that Jesus came in the flesh, because they believed all material matter was corrupt and flawed, so God could not come in the flesh. So that's why John is very specific. "We've seen him. We've heard him. What I'm proclaiming to you is I had a relationship with him," John is saying. He said, I'm writing this so that you too may have fellowship with us and indeed fellowship with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. You see, in this letter to the church, John is saying that God has extended to mankind an open invitation for relationship. See, Christianity is not just a religion. It's an invitation to have a relationship with the Creator and his Son. That fellowship that we have with God. Let me read to you an excerpt from my new book called This Is My Story, which will be released soon. In 1983, my wife and I flew to Connecticut to see her family. I was upset when the airline seated us in different rows, putting my wife, Kathy, several rows behind me. We were still newlyweds, but I should have chilled just knowing that God must have a plan. Remember, Psalm 37, verse 23 says this in the King James Version. It says, the steps of a righteous man or a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Sitting next to me that day was a young man who was a student at one of the Ivy League universities. He asked me what I did for a living, and I gave him my standard answer that I worked for a wealthy Jewish man. He went on to inquire what type of business we were in, and I joked with him by saying, we were into real estate. I really didn't want to talk that day. The young man told me that he was studying psychology and philosophy. I finally told him that the wealthy Jewish man was Jesus, and he owned the heavens and the earth, and I worked for him as a pastor. He chuckled and said, oh, this is going to be an interesting trip. Back and forth we went discussing everything from creation to the book of Revelation. It was exhausting as I could clearly see that this guy had more than the average intellect, and he was clearly laying out his case for rejecting my presentation of the gospel. That 2.5-hour flight seemed like it was just 20 minutes. I forgot all about being seated apart from my wife, and I clearly began to understand that God had special plans for me that day. As we were saying our goodbyes, the young man asked if we could exchange phone numbers. He said to me this, Keith, I feel I have a good argument for everything we discussed today, but there's one thing that troubles me. I asked him what it was, and he said, it's when you said you're not religious, but you have a personal relationship with the Creator. He said, I want to know more about this. Wow. It wasn't my carefully thought out answers that I had given to this young man that touched him that day. It wasn't all the Bible verses that I could quote that caused him to want to know more about my God. It was the simplicity of the gospel and having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. See, that's the one thing that religion cannot compete with. What we have in Christianity is not just another religion, but rather a personal relationship with God. In 1 Corinthians 1:37, Paul said this, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. It is in our weakness that we discover the strength of God. And when John writes in 1 John here, he's saying, I'm writing this so that you too may have fellowship with us, fellowship with the Father, and fellowship with the Son, Jesus. See, fellowship is a real important word in the Greek. It's the word koinonia, and it means sharing, a communion, a common bond, and common life, living, breathing, sharing. A loving relationship with another person. In Acts chapter 2, Luke was writing about the early church, and he said this in verse 44. He said, now all who believed were together and had all things in common. You see that word common? It was the word koinonia, which we translate as fellowship. Do you have fellowship with God today, friend? He wants you to. He gave an open invitation. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens that door, I'll come in and sup with him and him with me. I'll have fellowship with you. And that word fellowship is speaking about a relationship, having a relationship with our Creator. And what is the result of that fellowship? John writes it in verse 4. He said, "These things we write so that our joy may be made complete." If you're not experiencing much joy in your life, check your relationship with God. Because any good relationship, you must spend time together. Now in verse 5, John's going to pick up another subject here. He's going to tell that the one thing that messes up our fellowship with the Father God. He says in verse 5, "This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." Now, what is the darkness that John's writing about here? It's sin. It's sin. It's missing the mark. It's doing the things that we know are wrong, and yet we do them. John says, God is light, and in him, there's no darkness at all. He goes on in verse 6, and he says, "If we say that we have fellowship with him, and yet we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." So friend, if we are finding that we have a problem where we don't sense the fellowship with God like we once had, the problem is not on God's part. The problem would be on our part. Sin will cause you to avoid God. It'll cause you to avoid Christian people because you don't want to be around them when you're walking in willful disobedience. See, John said, if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Here's the thing, friend. The blood of Jesus covered all my sin, past, present, and future. God nailed it to the cross. But when we as Christians walk in disobedience, it pulls us out of that fellowship, that communion with God. Oh, we're still in relationship. He's still our Heavenly Father. But we've lost the fellowship, that communion, that koinonia, that sharing, that intimacy with God. John writes, he said, "The blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." Now in verse 8, John addresses another group of people. He says, "If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us." One of the most important things we ever learn in life is that we need to acknowledge our sin. We need to acknowledge before God our human failures and just share our need for him and his cleansing. See, when we come to the place where we say we have no sin and think that we have no failure in our life, it puts us in a dangerous place, friend. We are all human. We all fail. And we all need to understand that God's gift of mercy and grace are extended to us. And he's there to deliver us. And then we get verse 9. Oh, I love 1 John 1:9. "If we confess our sins," that word confess there means to acknowledge. If we say, "God, I have failed, I sinned." Look what he says. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous." One translation says just, "to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Friend, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he has an open invitation to you today. All you have to do is acknowledge and say, "God, I've failed. I desperately need you in my life. Cleanse my sin and take it away." He closes here in verse 10 and he says, "If we say that we have not sinned, we make him," God, "a liar, and his word is not in us." Here on Fresh Oil, we're in the book of 1 John. What a wonderful book as we go through the pages of John's epistle here in 1 John. Join me again tomorrow, the same time.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and he he makes his mercies new every morning.